everybody. Welcome back to Core. This is Core, episode 227 for Wednesday, July 8th, 2020. I'm Scott Johnson, and I am surrounded by John Jagger and Bo Schwartz today, which feels good. Oh.
You were all around you, Scott.
Yeah, all around me. It's a podcaster orgy. Hey, we're here to do a show. We're going to talk about games. We've been playing some games. We're going to talk about them. There was a little event today. There's some more events coming. But overall, not like the biggest newsy week ever. Just kind of a, you know, one of those games or one of those weeks in gaming where you're just sort of like, yeah, we're all just playing a thing. Stuff's out. Normal people are still making their way through Last of Us 2. They're not like John where he beat it in a day or 2 days or whatever you did.
It took me a while. It took me about a week.
Was it about a week? All right.
Yeah, something like that.
But, you know, like normal, average, like, guy, insurance salesman guy who likes a little gaming on the weekend.
Yeah.
He's still figuring out who Ellie is because he forgot from the first game. And he's like, oh, yeah, right, I got to do this. I mean, even me, I'm playing a game from forever ago that I'm really liking and super sad I missed around the first time, but... we'll talk about that a little later in the show. Bo is in a glowing white light, so don't mind him. If you're listening to the audio, you have no idea what we're talking about, so I don't know why I'm telling you this. So enjoy this now. All right. Bo, did you even say any words yet? Have you said words yet? Just, you know, to say hi or anything? Bo? Can he hear
us? He's muted. You threw him under the bus. He's busily working on things.
Why is he muted?
He left.
Oh, no.
He typed sorry problems.
Sorry problems? I'll say. I'm just kidding.
He's playing a game of sorry, and it has not gone well for him.
Well,
and
that is a problem. Keep your da safely away from the bow.
So all I did was go, I don't want to see that anymore, minimize. And then it went, and it changed it, and I couldn't hear anything again.
Suddenly you were muted to the world. All right, well, we didn't say anything bad about you. I just wanted to see how you were doing, and then you didn't
answer. Are we still live on the show?
Oh, yeah,
I don't know where we're at.
Yeah, we're right here.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, it's Bo, everybody. It's going good. I already played the transition and everything. Let's get right to it. So, hey, Microsoft, by the way, I don't know if you knew this, but on the 23rd, what is that, like 2 weeks? No. Yeah, 2 weeks from now or so, something like that. 2 weeks and a few days. They're doing their next big Xbox Series X stream, which I think I'm going to try to live commentary stream. We'll see if we can't get... John, to do that with me if it's in the daytime. If it's at night, maybe.
I would love to do that.
Yeah. If it's at night, all three of us can, but Bo is working. He's working the daytime, and he may be less available. But we'll see either way, because I want to see what they're going to do, what they're going to say. They got a lot to answer for in the shadow of the PlayStation announcement. They may be able to just kill it, knock it out of the park, and make everybody want Xboxes this time around. I'm actually genuinely curious about all kinds of stuff. Mainly to see if they match the production value of the last presentation, because I thought Sony's was pretty good in the end. Anyway, outside of that, though, Microsoft says next-gen upgrades need to be free. They want that to be a thing. They've removed the DLC loophole, but remasters will presumably still be a thing. Basically, from what I read, they are asking third parties, because they intend to do this themselves, is say, look, if you sell a previous-gen version of a game, let's say Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I'll use that as an example, even though that was already locked in as a free upgrade. But if you're going to make your game and sell it on the previous gen or the current gen, when our new generation console comes out, we do not want you to charge consumers for another version if they've already got it. Like, give them a free path. Whether they'll do that or not, I don't know. This seems to be a shot over the bow of Sony a little bit, because Sony hasn't made it super clear what they intended to do. But we do know from third-party examples, like that NBA game we talked about last week, going up to $70. That game has no plans for, oh, you bought it on PS4? It's too bad, so sad. You got to pay for it again on our more advanced console. So hard to say whether that's truly a line in the sand, because in theory, the third parties they're talking to and saying, please don't do this, they could make that same decision on the PlayStation. I don't know. That's a weird thing. What's your take on that, John? Do you think they're gonna do that? Do you think they'll actually say, oh, sure, Microsoft, why not? We'll not make extra money because you asked us nicely.
Well, by all accounts, it's something that they are saying, like, hey, if you want to be a part of our platform, you're going to need to adhere to. That could obviously change, but the thing that I found interesting was basically they had heard about a loophole where people were going to sell a DLC upgrade that was supposed to kick you up into the new, you know, the added benefits of upgrading, you know? Mm. And so they said, you can't charge for that. That needs to be free. If there's an upgrade to get people up on the new system on the next gen, that needs to be for free. But I didn't see, at least from what I read, I don't know if you saw something different, but I didn't see anything that said, hey, the era of remastered editions are gone. We're not going to let anybody do a, here's the remastered version of whatever, right, all done for this. So I think there are still workarounds where people could go out and say, hey, this is, you know, I think Last of Us is a good example. This is the Last of Us Part 2 remastered for next gen, or up-res for next gen. It's not a great example because that's a Sony.
That's Sony, but, yeah. and they're literally going to probably do that, so yeah.
And they probably will do that. Yeah. But I still think other companies would be allowed to do that. So we're going to have to wait and see what the reaction is. You know, if all of third party listens to it, if they don't. But it is interesting. It's a cool thing for Microsoft to be saying. How that translates product wise, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I'm super curious about it. Bo, I'm guessing I know where you stand on this. You would love to see a world where game companies sold you a game and then that game sort of just worked in perpetuity depending on the system you're on. We're already kind of doing that as PC gamers. Do you hope that that sort of thing ends where they try to double dip and get your money twice for the anxious first day buyers of games like Assassin's Creed or whatever, you know, whatever hot title they want to get? Muted. We lost Bo again.
Oh no,
he can't hear us. Or can he hear us? Can we hear him?
He didn't say problems continue, but apparently I think we lost
him. Oh, I missed the... Oh, hi.
Hi. It's jumping around doing stuff on its own, so I may not be able to make it to the end today.
Boom!
I barely caught the question, but
How do you feel about... It seems like an altruistic move on the part of Microsoft to say to you, the gamer, hey, you don't have to buy, you shouldn't buy this game twice. You should buy it the one time you bought it. And if hardware improves, mm-hmm. your game should improve too. That doesn't mandate the third parties or anyone else make newer versions and take advantage of the newer hardware, I suppose.
I guess if they know that there's a new console coming and then they know that there's a big selling game that they want to bust sales, then they should be offering free upgrades to the next console.
Look at that. Bo agrees with Microsoft.
Isn't somebody's doing that, I think.
Yeah.
Microsoft is for their first party, but they are now trying to pressure third party.
I mean, it should be the law. In fact, if you buy something on Steam, you shouldn't have to buy it on it. It should be illegal to buy the exact same thing in duplicate, especially a download of ones and zeros. Yeah. You're out of your minds making people pay double. But it's allowed, and if things are allowed, it must be right thing to do. Yeah,
I didn't think about that. If you buy, okay, so if I buy a game on PC,
and it's ones and zeros. It's a series of electrical bits that are on and off. Like holy shit, you get mad at people for being mad about this stuff. You need to really stop and think about what you're being mad at. It's just they call it access, but it's electrical pulses arranged in a string.
Yeah.
And you get to download it, and you get to put that copy on your computer, and somehow that's worth, a tenth of your salary that week or whatever. You know, like,
that's pretty intense. Yeah. I'll talk about it later, but I'm replaying Titanfall 2 and playing it to completion on stream on PC because it was on sale, and I always felt like it was a bummer I never tapped into that campaign enough. Anyway, there's an example where I spent $10 on the sale, which is a really good deal. But I already owned it on PlayStation 4, and I think my son ran off with it, and I never saw it again. But at the time, I think I probably paid $49 for it or something, whatever I did, $59 maybe. And now that you've said this, yeah, I paid for those same ones and zeros two different times.
I'm happy to pay, and I'm happy to have a subscription model, but paying again and being they like, oh, look at our customers. They're so proud of them. It's like, you swindled them.
And in this case, you know, I would say there's even a step down from what we're talking about with PC games, because if we still lived in the world of physical media where you weren't going to Steam or you weren't going somewhere and you bought Titanfall 2, you would be able to play that on any PC anywhere. You could theoretically add the key to Steam if you wanted to launch through their platform or whatever. I don't know if Epic does that or not, but I mean, like, that's a copy you could take anywhere. And it's not like you're getting some special Steam edition of the game that's enhanced and got better graphics. It's literally the exact same game that you now own twice.
Right.
So, and I've done it. I think a lot of people have done it. There's been plenty. I own the Star Wars game, the new one that came out. I bought that game on Steam. I played it as part of the subscription deal on EA. And, you know, that there was an element of like me saying, I feel like I'm kind of getting this game twice. But I will say, in the case of some of these things, there are some nice bits. In that Star Wars game, I was part of the EA whatever plan. That's how I got to play it. So I technically didn't buy it. And when I launched it on Steam, it pulled up my profile and it had all my old saves. So everything I unlocked while I was playing as part of that EA plan was still there and still good and ready to go as soon as I booted it up. It's one of those things where I agree with Bo. Like, if I buy a game on Steam, I should own the PC copy of that game. It shouldn't be a case of, well, you know, you didn't get it on the Epic Store version of this game. It's the same game.
You remember those like services like Mega File Upload or something like that? Like places you go and you could just, you pay a subscription or something and then you just download shit.
Yeah, I remember whatever. That. Sure. Yeah.
It's like, that's pretty much what that's pretty much what Steam is. It just has a really fancy front door. It's like the same business model. It's like they just store ones and zeros that you want in that order. Yeah. And you pay, you go whichever site has the gate, then you pay the toll. That's,
well, what's nice is like some of the games, I'll give you an example of, let's use Satisfactory as an example. So I bought that game on the Epic Store because I wanted to play it and not wait for Steam. I really liked it and I'm glad I did. They moved to Steam and launched over there. A full 2 years later or a year and a half later, it's still in early access, but they're getting close to being done with that game. And I remember having this little feeling like, oh, now it's over where I have most of my stuff. I kind of wish it was here. I wish it was here so I could just have it in the same library and not worry about it. And they sent me a key. They said, you are early on supporting us on this other platform. And we know that a lot of people want to be in multiple places or have their games in one place. So we are offering you, they gave me a key. Like, I didn't even ask for it. They just gave me one. So that's happened like 2-3 times now, but they're all, you know, smaller development houses. Not like some AAA studio is going to do this for me, but like, you know, small groups of developers making cool games are kind of making this moral decision out on the periphery of what we're talking about today with this Microsoft idea. It would be nice if the bigger titles and stuff got more consumer friendly. Back in the day where you had a different kind of cartridge that fit in your Super Nintendo than fit in your Sega Genesis, I kind of understand why the business model set itself around that and said, well, you can only play this physically. There is no digital. So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to buy for this platform or this platform. It's kind of like, you know, you make a screw that fits one kind of nut and a screw that fits another kind of nut. Which nut do you have? All right, well, here's the screw that fits it.
Yeah, and the platforms were less agnostic back then. Right. Like, most games were exclusive to the console.
That's correct. Third party was shifted
the whole other way now, right?
Right, it was more of an anomaly to have a third-party dominance on a platform back then, so you're totally right. But if you wanted Madden, and it was a third-party example, then you'd pick your console of choice, and that's where you'd have it. That model is what they're still trying to work with today. They're saying, do you want this game? Let's use the PC example. Do you want this game on Epic and you also want it over here on Steam? Sorry, two different platforms. Even though cognitively there's a break there. No, it's one platform. It's my PC. My PC is pushing the polygons, pushing the data, crunching the numbers and making everything happen on screen. It's not some second box. So don't, I mean, oh, man, that's kind of mind-blowing now that John mentioned it.
The ultimate Game Pass is the closest thing we have to forward-thinking in this regard.
Which is
a sub to Microsoft, and you get it. It doesn't matter. Box, thing, not thing, PCs.
Right. Well, that might be why I'm so excited about Microsoft's efforts this coming generation, because they are more forward thinking about this for whatever reason, probably because they were in a really stinky second place for this generation, this last generation, that they are like just being really super aggressive. Sony, and then and wearing, you know, swapping their pants, Sony would have to probably be doing the same thing or things like it if they were coming from a deep second. So they
probably hired some talent, right? Phil Spencer being put where he is, I don't think is a coincidence. I think he's,
yeah,
I think he's a big, you know, him and whatever leadership and personnel they put in there, because sometimes it's just the people that are there, the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So whatever changes they made have really proven to be really good.
Yeah, I'm excited so to see what they say. So we'll find out more on the 23rd, probably more about these initiatives, maybe. Who knows how visual that presentation will be, if there'll be much talking. I don't know. But we'll soon find out.
I'm using Bing, by the way.
Oh, are you getting points on Bing and all that stuff?
Switch it on my phone. And get every so often, I get a $10 gift card. I figure, hey, maybe if I just use Ping on my phone, Bing, not Bing, Ping. Ping.com.
Yeah, Ping.
If I use Bing.com, I might, you know, get a lot of points, and I can get $10 gift cards from Best Buy. And who knows, after a while, I might be like, oh, sweet, $100. Let's get a treat.
I just for fun wanted to do a search of Bo Schwartz and on Bing. Here's what I got. You ready for this?
Is it porn?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but I ignored the porn part.
Used car dealer.
So it says here, Bo Schwartz, employee ratings at DealerRater.com. Bo Schwartz, sales manager of SunTrip Nissan Volkswagen.
Careful, we don't want to dox someone, because it's a real person that shares my name,
yeah,
and lives somewhere in these States United.
Oh, yeah, I'm not giving out addresses. United. Forget that.
Yeah,
you're also an actor.
The person is a public figure in the sense that he has a sales business and wants you to know about it, so I don't know. You know, it's probably fine.
Yeah, of course it is. It's public. Bo Schwartz on IMDb, there's an actor. So maybe you're acting under the radar, didn't tell us about it. That's kind of a bummer.
That one isn't mine. That isn't mine.
It's too bad. All right, how about this one? About 7 down, we got Bo Schwartz, YouTube. My name is Bo Schwartz, a.k.a. Gorath. That's you. I found you.
That's me.
Can I look at you?
Can't believe I'm so low. I've been giving Ping lots of search activity. I feel slighted.
Yeah. You get their name right only about 50% of the time.
How many Microsoft points does the car dealership Bo Schwartz have? Really?
Really? You know? I know. You're
not
kidding.
Boost me. Okay. Give me some SEO. Maybe I should use my points on SEO bonuses.
John Jagger, you have your very first one is your Twitter account.
Mm-hmm.
Well done.
Darn right.
Yeah.
Take that, other John Jagger.
Yep. And then I found out here on Wikipedia that John Jagger, born 1872, was a British trade unionist and Labour Party politician. After a career in business and trade union leadership, he won a seat in the House of Commons in 1935, and he held it until your death by a road accident in 1942. Nice job.
Oh my gosh. I just found out I passed away in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, jeez. That's a little close. That's a little too close.
I'm picturing John Jogger right now. it's like John, but it's the jogging version. He's got a headband and
there
sweats.
You go. There you go. Nailed it. For me, by the way. Don't search for me. All right. There's a lot of ugly pictures of me come up when you do that. Anyway, good luck on your Bing scheme. I like to call
Thank
it.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. What I hope is that thing works out to the point where you can, like, Microsoft will be just at your whim because you have so many Bing points. That's what I want.
That'd be funny. There's a secret thing you could redeem. It was like president of Microsoft. Yep. Bill Gates comes to your house and is like, it's like Ready Player One, but really crappy.
Yep.
He's like, hello, would you like to lead Microsoft into the future? I'm like, yeah, man. Where's the Pepsi?
Yep.
What can we do? We promised it. He used Bing a lot. He used Bing more than anybody else here. We tried to get everybody on the initiative. Y'all wanted to Google things. Now he's in charge.
It's like, scooch out of the way. Go ahead.
What do they call the top Bing guy? Like, do they call him the Bingo or something?
The Chandler.
this seems like you've thought about it prior to my question.
No, I like the comptroller. It's the Microsoft, the Bing comptroller. That's what I want to be.
Bing Chandler.
The Bing Chandler.
I get it.
Yeah, get it, because Bing Chandler, yeah. No, Chandler Bing, sorry.
Because of Bing Chandler.
Stop it and reverse it. That's what I meant. All right, moving on. The Sims is getting a reality TV show, and I'm horrified about what that might be like. Like, legitimately nervous about what the idea of a Sims reality show is.
Because it sounds bad.
It sounds
terrible.
It looks
like a lot of people playing the game. Like, when I read it, I thought it was going to be, like, challenges. Like, who can swim consistently in a pool the longest without drowning, or who can find their way out of this completely enclosed room while we set it
or
on fire?
Who can hold their pee in a house that has no toilet?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
The longest.
I've told you guys that story where I built a toilet, a fancy new toilet at my Sims house, and then someone knocked on the door, and I just installed this beautiful new expensive toilet in the room. It's like Sims 2, I think. Doorbell, bing bong. I'm like, oh, I better get that. So I just got up and left the game. Thought things would just kind of keep moving while I was gone. Came back 2 hours later after however long I talked to a neighbor, and I sit down, and there are pee puddles all over the apartment. And there's a quivering Sim who's my guy in the corner holding his crotch and quivering in the corner in his own pee.
Yeah.
And I just thought, what the frick happened? And what it was, the new toilet I put in was too big for the bathroom I built. And so when you try to open the door to do it, it would block it. So the guy couldn't get in to use it. And yeah, that's about as good as I ever got at The Sims. But anyway, here's what it says. Sims is getting a competition series that will air Friday nights on TBS. The Sims Sparked is a reality competition in partnership with E-League and YouTube. Let's see. There's also BuzzFeed Multiplayer Channel, which I haven't heard of. Anyway, players will have to take on a challenge to make unique character stories and worlds in The Sims 4. So they are doing it in the game. It's kind of an esport.
Yeah.
The show will be 4 episodes long and will air on July 17th. Oh, that's my birthday. At 11 p.m. Eastern, the winning competition or competitors will receive $100,000. The show features Maxis game developer Dave Minocchi and BuzzFeed multiplayer YouTube personality Kelsey Implicchichi.
Nailed it.
Implicchichi. I don't know how you say that name. That name's weird. Anyway, to coincide with the show, there'll be an in-game event or a bunch of in-game events for viewers, and the top contestants in the program will be considered for future season of The Sims Sparked. We don't know what the challenges are yet, but you got to design some cool stuff to win. I don't know. That just seems hard. It seems hard to keep people's attention. Maybe people are really into The Sims 4 and this is totally going to be fun and great. And I personally can't see it.
I mean, I don't think it'll be the next The Floor is Lava, but it should be, you know, we can give it a try.
Yeah, I did. I told you I watched some of that, right?
I know. It's good.
It's
legitimately it's good. Bad.
There's something about it that compelled me to keep watching it. Even though I knew it was really stupid, it didn't matter. And I'm not sure what to even compare that to, but it was a unique experience.
I know what it is. It's the fact that when people fall in the lava, you see them fall beneath it and you never hear from them ever again. And it is treated as if they died.
Yeah.
They're gone. They're no longer on this planet.
Yeah.
You don't see them again until the exit interview. And that's it. And I think their adherence to this rule is completely worthwhile.
Yeah.
And I think that's the only thing that saves that show.
It's very weird how compelling I found it, even though I know it's not. Like you said, it's good, bad. It somehow straddles terrible and good at the same time. And there's also something just kind of, I don't know, innocent about it, or kind of like old fashioned. Like a thing when you're like 8 years old and people said, hey, let's do a potato sack race or something, like a picnic. Yeah. Ooh, potato sack race. Yay. Right. Like you get all excited about it. This feels like that. It's just like a wholesome competition going on. I don't know. I found it nicely distracting. I wonder, Canadian channels or does Canadian Netflix get Lava is the Floor or Floor is Lava? Bo, can you play that up there? Audio has murdered him once again. It's all right.
I think I just muted myself that time. It's fine.
Oh, okay.
Let me think. I think we just watch all your stuff, unless it's like something we made.
Maybe you made
it. So I don't like sometimes we have a version of things like Canada's Next Top Model or something like that. Like we'll have the Canada version of Amazing Race Canada. Mm-hmm. But I don't.
Wait a minute. They go all over the place. Like,
I mean, it's a big country up here. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So do they just explore Canada?
I didn't watch it.
Okay.
I didn't see it.
Sorry, I was just very interested by the idea of
Canada's Drag Race. That's one for sure. Thank you. Kelly Zarrell.
They have a drag race up there. That's cool. Who hosts that? Since we have RuPaul, who gets to do it up there?
I don't know. I don't watch TV. I don't watch that garbage. That effing trash on freaking broadcast TV. Put it in the toilet. Sorry, I'm in a mood today. What I've been watching in 2020, I've rewatched Trailer Park Boys and Community. That's pretty much what I've done.
Oh, there you go. Where do you stand on Letterkenny? Because I've been watching that again, and I like Letterkenny.
I have to give it a fair chance because maybe it's funny. People I respect like it, but I look at it, and I'm just like, this looks stupid to me. But I don't know. Maybe you guys have Americana that you guys don't really like, that maybe people abroad, you know, like David Hasselhoff. Germans love it. You're just like, why?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of have that feeling. I'm like, Letterkenny. I'm like, yeah, I see these people, but, you know, whatever.
I feel that way about In-N-Out Burger. People really put In-N-Out Burger up on a pedestal that I think it does not belong.
It's too high. You're right. It's too high of a
pedestal. I thought that was a restaurant.
It is.
It is.
Here's the problem with In-N-Out Burger. Well, I mean, John just said it. It's. I mean, it's another way of saying it's overrated. But like, it's fine. It's okay. It's fine. Go to In-N-Out, eat a burger. It's all good, right? But they're not like the end all be all they pretend that they're made out to be.
Yeah.
The first time I had one, people were like, "Oh, you're going to Vegas? They have one there now." And this is before we had them all over the place here. They're everywhere here now. But at the time, none in Salt Lake. So they were like, you got to go to the one in Vegas. Go to the one in Vegas. So we did. And we got in the drive up and there was a line and everybody looked like they were going to go, oh, this is the greatest food we're ever going to have in our face. And we got up there and we got our food and I dived into it and I went, this is just kind of okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
There's nothing special going on. I like Five Guys better. And I know some people don't like Five Guys, but I love Five Guys.
I think Five Guys is better, but if you're thinking, well, John, what a safe take, I will say this: I don't like their fries.
No, their fries are gross. They're wet, soggy. They're like socks.
Yep.
They're not
great. Ew.
I don't like In-N-Out's fries either, for that matter.
In-N-Out's fries are barely fries. I feel like I'm eating somebody's packing peanuts. They're not great. The only good French fries on this planet are ones you make yourself, or, oh, let's see, who can we give credit to for good fries? Who makes the best? Oh, I got it right now. This may be temporary, though, because I don't think they're a permanent menu item, but Arby's. You have Arby's in Canada, Bo?
We do, but then I haven't been, I don't think, ever.
Well, generally speaking, Arby's isn't great. It's okay. They have some sandwich stuff now. It's not bad, but just their standard roast beef pile of beef thing is weird. But they used to
the only thing I like from them. Everything else, every time I get something else, I just go, ugh, made a mistake. Yeah. I should have just gotten a basic roast beef sandwich.
I get that feeling. I don't know. Once their euros are pretty good. But anyway, they have these fries that are horrendous. And I know some people are going to disagree with me, but their curly fries are just freaking bad. Okay? They're just straight up bad. Mm. However, right now they have sweet potato waffle fries. And I thought, these are going to be terrible. Let's try it and see if this isn't the worst thing ever. I'm so pleasantly surprised with those. I would eat a pile of those right now. They were great.
So, like, they're fries made in a waffle iron?
Yeah. Well, no. Do you know, like, do you guys have Chick-fil-A up there? Or is that all just down here?
Yeah, but I haven't been to one.
Okay.
We have Wendy's, right?
I don't know. Do you?
Yeah. Canada. Wendy's with the girl with the braids?
Yeah. The redhead.
Are you asking if you, Canada, has them or if we, America?
No. I'm asking if you have them.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we have Wendy's all over.
We have those, and I've eaten there. So you're like, has this guy ever eaten at a restaurant? You're like, have you eaten here? Do you have them? Yeah. Have you eaten there? No. Do you have this? Yeah. Eaten there? No.
You probably eat just good food there, and we would all rather have whatever you're having. But
but I haven't had a waffle fry, so forgive me for thinking it was made with a waffle.
No, it is kind of, but that's the idea of it. It looks like a full sliced potato. Imagine like, you know, a slice of a potato. So it's around, you know, it's like a disc, but then it's all... I'm sure they run them through something that makes this pattern, but they're all like ribbly and rubbly, and they look like little waffles.
Ribbly, rubbly.
Perfectly described.
You know, I was having a hard time picturing things until you used the adjective ribbly. And rubbly. That's great. But I get what you mean. They were Ribbly Rumbly.
Yeah. They're very good. I'm just saying,
for a place
that grosses me out most of the time, Arby's, you did good with those, whatever those are.
My choice for fast food fries, there's a place here called Portillo's, and they have very good fries.
That already sounds better just by the name.
Portillo sounds portentous.
Oh, hey.
But is it? Is it that kind of place, or is it?
No, it's a place that was mainly in Chicago. It's a lot of hot dogs and stuff like that. We do have one here, and it's really, really good. Their hot dogs are
fantastic. I like my meat in cylinders.
Well, portentous means it's scary. Pretentious means it's stuck up, right? Do I have that right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I kind of screwed up my pun game.
No, I kind of liked it, but it's still cool to say it's a scary place to eat, you know? Like a deep, ooh, it portends evil. Brr. All right. Thus endeth today's fast food discussion. Moving on. Oh, yeah, Sims TV thing. We'll see how it goes. Maybe I'll watch. I don't know. Ninja. Remember Ninja? Remember that deal? He's a big, he's a big-time Twitch streamer. And
he used to stream on Twitch, then he disappeared for a while.
Yeah, I heard he got lost in the Himalayan mountains on an excursion. That's why he stopped streaming.
He just disappeared, did he? Okay, well, so when he was at Twitch, first of all, he had some beef with Twitch toward the end there. He got hired by Mixer for $30 million in a contract for a certain amount of time. And the thinking there was, hey, Mixer's going to get big because Ninja will bring all his people over. And they also did it with Shroud and I think maybe one or two other streamers. But he was by far the biggest money get, and it cost them $30 million to do that. Then Mixer, it didn't work that way, by the way. He didn't bring enough people to make a difference, enough of a difference, I should say. And Mixer pulled the plug on the entire service. That is to say, Microsoft did. And he got all his money. They just ended his contract early, but his contract meant he got paid. So he got $30 million. Shroud got his 11. And then everybody was like, well, where are these guys going to go? What are they going to do? And then it was quiet for a couple of weeks, right? And then last night, or 2 days ago, whatever it was, I don't have the date, Ninja shows up on YouTube, and him and a couple of friends, and they played Fortnite, and they got 100,000 concurrent viewers, meaning all on at the same time. That's what concurrent means, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of people. And also the rumors were floating around that he would probably end up at YouTube anyway, because there was no way he was going to do the Facebook gaming thing, even though they offered him $60 million. I believe that's on top of the other 30, by the way. Here's what I would say. Just take your $30 million and make your own, do what you want, go do something else. Like, does it always have to be? Does he have to have a giant contract?
What if that's what he likes? Scott,
can another guy
on,
get $30
million?
Why does the same
Scott
guy have to keep getting
to
$30
million?
All right, hold
Scott,
my feet.
You said you have been well documented. Scott Johnson,
yep.
You've been well documented in the past as saying that if you won the lottery and you became extremely rich, that your life wouldn't change. You would still be doing this podcasting thing, right?
Yeah,
or would that be it? You
no,
would
no, no.
fold it.
No, you're right. Well, no, that's not what I mean.
He likes playing Fortnite on the internet.
That's not
people.
What I mean. That's not what I mean. I totally agree with you. I think that he probably does and would want to and would like to continue to do that. But here's what I would do with $30 million and if I was the world's most popular streamer, all right?
Okay.
This is what I think I would do.
Okay.
I mean, it would be hard to turn down somebody else's $30 million contracts. But let's just say there aren't, if you've got $30 million and you're kind of sick of the rigmarole of what it means to hook yourself into some service and marry them for another 30 and then all the things that means, right? Here's what I would do instead. I would take my $30 million and I would invest a ton of it and I would live. I would never be want for anything. And now I can stream anywhere I freaking want. Not for the money, but purely for the fun. So if I'm tired of doing Fortnite streams, which you know that dude gets tired of playing Fortnite, I guarantee he does. You hear stories about this all the time. These streamers want to branch out and do other things, but their fans won't let them because all they care about is the game that they're playing. So if it was me, I'd go, well, F that. I've got the $30 million now, plus whatever else I'm making on sponsors and everything else. I'm just going to play whatever I want. I might play Fortnite on Monday, but guess what? Come back here on Tuesday. I might play Pac-Man or Miss Pac-Man because I'm in the mood. Like, do whatever you want to do. That's all I'm saying. Because right now, what this is all boiling down to is, what does one major streaming partner want? How much money do they want to throw at him so that he will do the thing that brings the numbers? And it's what Mixer did, but that was just bad money because it didn't work. Okay, you could call it a failure, by the way. Like, he's not a personal failure, but that effort to, for his momentum,
somebody hustled somebody in that.
Yeah,
somebody
that was a failure. Okay, it just was.
Mixer hustled themselves, or somebody hustled somebody.
But if he gets a deal with YouTube, which is possible, great. I think he still has beef with Twitch, but maybe they want him back. I don't know. It's a weird time we live in. But hey, all hats off to him. You do you, Ninja, and I'm not prescribing anything to him. But if it was me, I think I would be relieved that I've got fat stacks of money everywhere. Everything's paid for and good. I can focus on my future, whatever that is. And part of that, if it's just me, I want to play games all the time and I want to stream, I would start to be able to play what I want to play instead of being forced to play freaking Fortnite every day.
I think something happens to your brain when you start getting paychecks north of $50,000 a month.
Yeah.
I don't think you're thinking like you are today. I think after a year of getting like, oh, sweet, 50 grand, 100 grand, 30 million. I think something happens to you, man.
In your 20s.
I think we're seeing it.
Maybe in your 20s, yes. I feel like I've gotten on the other side of life a little bit, and I don't know. The stuff that's important to me doesn't cost money anymore. Like,
you wouldn't want to be going out to and having sick parties.
No, I don't. I don't want to do any of that. I don't want to go to Ibiza and see if Bieber will be there. Like, who gives a shit about any of that stuff? What I want to do is go see a movie with my wife and hang out with my children and see some friends and barbecue, maybe. You know, like, simple. I have simple needs. I would love to be that guy who had the 30 million but stayed in a modest home. Everything's paid for, but you're done. And you got the car you want, and you're done. But it's not a big orange Lamborghini to show off to everybody. Like, that part rubs me all kinds of wrong. But if you asked me this when I was 21, I probably would answer this very differently then.
I'm like, isn't there a Venga Boys song about going to a pizza?
I think it depends on...
Yes.
You know, like, think of this conversation this way. Replace the name Ninja with Matt Damon or whatever celebrity. You'd be like, why are we talking about this? Unless it was something to do with poo or something hilarious. You would be like, oh, I don't even want to talk about this celebrity and their rich problems. Yeah. Like, Ninja going from zero to millionaire, awesome story. We love seeing gamers get celebrated and get rewarded. But once you get your 30 million and then you're going to your other 30 million deal, all you gamer folk out there that are PC Master Race people, or, you know, I don't like celebrities, I like gamer people. I'm like, that's what these people are becoming. Mm-hmm. And it's just as gross to think about preoccupy yourselves with their giant paydays as it is Matt Damon or Tom Cruise or whoever else.
You're right. You got a thing for Matt Damon tonight, but I'm going to overlook it. It's fine. It's totally fine.
Matt Damon from Team America.
I think it's great that you keep bringing him up.
All Matt Damon can say is, Matt Damon.
Dude, Team America. I haven't seen that in so long. I need to watch that again. What a great thing that is.
I watched South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut today.
That's a good movie.
Oh,
it's a really good movie.
Like, it's legitimately good.
I put it on. Here's the weird part. I was in the mood for a musical, mm-hmm. and so that's what I put on.
It's a musical. Good it is.
Call.
Dude, Blame Canada won the Oscar that year for best original song. Like, it's.
I thought it was only nominated.
Oh, I thought it won.
Phil Collins' stupid Tarzan song won, and that's why they proceeded to make fun of Phil Collins, including depicting him having a Emmy or an Academy Award shoved up his butt.
But okay, maybe you're right. But also, I kind of like the Tarzan soundtrack. Hate me if you want, chat room or everyone else, but I kind of like it. It's all right. Hold on, Canada, Blame Canada.
Oscar. Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
Yeah, it's really good. Okay, here it is. Here it says it was 1999. Nominated. Didn't win. Boo. All right, well, it didn't win. You're right, John. I take everything back I've ever said about anything ever before. All right, moving on to what now? Oh, Ninja's back. Get ready, everyone. Probably YouTube. Easy. YouTube will probably offer him a bunch of money. I don't know why he doesn't just go where
YouTube
you want to go.
YouTube has an emergency team. They probably hired 12 people, and they're like, as soon as Ninja starts streaming, you publicity campaign, whatever you can do. That's all they do. They just sit there and watch Ninja and wait for him to jump on YouTube, and then they're like, they're on him.
Yeah. Well, I am not surprised, though. Imagine turning down $60 million from Facebook because you just hate Facebook that much. That's just that if that isn't a sign of truly not liking a platform and giving up $30 million, I don't know what is.
It's a real statement on Facebook.
Yeah, not 30. I'm sorry. I think it was 60 on top of the 30 he got from Mixer. So he gave up $60 million potentially not to go there, but he may get more than that or that at YouTube anyway. So I don't know. I'm just worried, you know, what do you do in a world where, well, I hope Ninja's smart and spends his money in wise places, invests and all that, because,
you know what?
Fortnite's going to
be okay.
He'll be fine.
You know,
my prediction, Ninja will be fine.
You know, he could have taken that money and maybe streamed less, because there's kind of, with Facebook, the Oculus connection.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's some cool stuff that Facebook's doing gaming-wise. I know it's not what he does, but like you said, like, are you just going to stream indefinitely? Like, there's got to be I think someone like that is going to transition to a career somehow. Maybe he wants to do something.
He may want to have some other brands. Maybe sell some. Maybe there already is branded Ninja clothes. I don't know.
Maybe there'll be a rap album soon. You never know. Yeah, or a boxing match. YouTubers now are like, what do we do to entertain people? Let's box each other.
I guess we fight.
Yeah. Damn. Now we fight. Anyway, so we'll see how that plays out. We still don't know what happened to Dr. Disrespect. Neither Twitch nor he will say why he got banned permanently. And you want a tinfoil hat? This, hold on, I got one for you. I got a little tinfoil.
Oh yeah, I love a tinfoil.
Okay, here's my tinfoil hat on that. I'm probably wrong because they refunded all of his subs to the people who sub him. So this probably isn't true, but this could be a joint. What do you call those things when you do like a big try to be
publicity stunt?
Yeah, but it's like a viral word. It's like for it's ADR? ADR. ADR?
Oh, augmented reality deal. Like Sombra, you're talking about.
Yeah, or like what the TV show Lost used to do with, like, oh, there's a website for this company and like that kind of stuff.
Or or Fortnite going dark for no reason.
Yeah, that weekend. Kind of stuff. It's like a viral, like whatever. And they're in cahoots on it. And it's all part of some ruse to do some. I don't know what it would be.
Actually, that makes a lot of sense that they refunded. If you knew you were going to cancel the channel, you would be like, we might get in trouble for accepting money for something we didn't fully deliver. So let's give everyone their subs back. Yeah. That's a big hint that it's actually planned. And boom, you got DrDisrespect.com, and he's got his own fully featured site supported by Twitch with benefits through Twitch. But you don't go to Twitch to watch him. You go to DrDisrespect.com.
Wow.
And because, look, I mean, his production game is pretty good. Like, you know, he spends time and has people working on his stream. It's obvious. And he's performing a persona like a wrestler a lot of the time. I'm sure it's pretty close to how he is, but it's, you know, you're on camera all day and stream is draining. It's not, it's not just easy fun time. And at least, like, if I'm streaming, I'm just being myself, like, hey guys, but you know, you're putting on a show. He is a showman and he's playing a game.
It's all a show.
So there's a lot of energy involved in doing that.
Right.
So you got to respect that part of the game, but yeah. And he's always talking about being the best. I'm the 2-time. I got a mustache. Join the mustache club.
You could be him. You could be the new. You could be Mr. Disrespect.
If I could keep up,
doesn't have a doctorate.
I'd be Professor. I'd be Professor Respect, and there'd be a big match where he's like, "I'm the doctor. I'm the one you should listen to, MF-er." And then I'd be like, "Excuse me, but that's disrespectful."
Yeah.
I'm Bo Schwartz, aka Gorath, Professor Respect, and I'm going to beat you at Fortnite.
But respectfully, don't worry. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Also, there's been some suggestion that he got caught doing something real bad and no one wants to talk about it because who knows? I don't know. It's all rumor and speculation.
Yeah, that's the thing is nobody knows.
Nobody has any idea.
The facts are Twitch invested a lot of money in him, and for them to then ban him you know, you can make some guesses, but at best they would be guesses.
Have you seen that video of the last 8 minutes he streamed? Did you watch that by chance?
Yeah, I did see it.
Something real weird about the way it went out.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure it's on purpose. If he was in trouble of some kind, people are right now digging up every court case that's been filed in the past week or two or something, you know, anything to figure out what's up.
Sorry, the chat room's cracking me up. DDS, slight disrespect or slight respect. Surgeon. Mr. Respect. You guys are nuts.
It's Professor Respect.
What if they found out his Twitch? I don't know. What? I don't even know. Where? John's right. It's all speculation. We don't know. I was going to go somewhere, but I'm not going there. I'm not going there. No.
No.
I'll get myself in trouble.
It's not safe, children.
All right. Warcraft had their Shadowlands talk today. It was kind of what I expected, which was just more of a look at the new expansion. We did a live instance coverage of that and then some commentary after today. So if you want to check that out at theinstance.net, you're welcome to. That podcast is already up. It looks great. Like, looks real nice. Systems-wise, I think both John and I share some fears about some grind and some stuff that seems like they just can't get away from in this game. And that's obviously a loaded statement and could go a thousand ways. You take forever to unpack it all. But I think this, if I had to give it like a single statement, I would say there's some really cool stuff coming. I like thematically where they are. I like where this is all taking place. I think there's a lot of cool story potential there. I think it looks really nice. Like visually, things are just, that engine just looks better and better the more they tweak it for such an old game. And I think Torghast is a very cool addition to the game based on what I played in the alpha and what I'm seeing them show. But and then the rest of the statement is, it seems like there's a lot of grindy stuff in the end game in particular. Because my WoW for me is best when it's level, whatever the new base level is, up to the new cap. And you know what's weird? I just realized this. In their official, well, this is a post on a site. Let's see, it was a Polygon. Somebody laid out all the stuff that's in the expansion, or the collector's edition. And in there they said a free boost to 130. I'm like, no. Yeah. It's a free boost to 60.
Oh, that is weird. I just realized that.
Yeah,
they can boost all the time, but no, that's not the level cap anymore.
Yeah, they're squishing the level cap. So technically, once the patch is live, you'll be boosting from 50 to 60 because they're squishing levels from 120 where they are now down. So I didn't even think of that. That's weird. But maybe they still have to use that language so it doesn't freak people out. You know, because if you haven't been back to WoW in a while and you're like, ooh, I could buy that and get 30 days free and a boost. What does that take me to? Ooh, 130? Sweet, that's maximum, right? Like, you could see that thinking.
Yeah.
Would be a better marketing move, but anyway. So that's kind of where I'm at with it. Beta starts next week, so they're going to start doing invites. They are invite only. And there's also a whole bunch of stuff that I'll be able to say on Friday, because right now I'm under NDA about some things that I'm seeing in the game that I can't talk about, but I will be able to talk about Friday. And yeah, but as for that presentation today, you know, it is what it is. It looks like a good new expansion. Hopefully it's better than the last one, or at least the last half of the last one, which suffered pretty hard. But like I've always said, for me, the big experience for me is almost always the 10 level experience, the story, the questing, the progression of that experience is always my favorite part of an expansion. And the end game depends on which expansion you tell me about that I like more or less. I really liked Legion. I really liked Pandaria, although it got pretty grindy in the back end. Weirdly, end game for me in the third one, Cataclysm, was, or fourth one, I guess, right? Well, third expansion was one of my favorites because I just played a ton of end game. I don't know why that one clicked with me so much because, you know, you could argue there are big problems with that expansion. But anyway, the point is, plenty to say about it. More to say on Friday. I was curious if you guys have any other thoughts. John, we talked a little in pre-show about it. Anything to add about your impressions of what you saw?
No, I mean, you know, WoW expansions, I'm kind of with you. I'm in it for the first little bit. And then whenever they feel the need to come back and deliver some story, this feels like it's maybe at the very least a half step in the right direction. It'll be cool if the other stuff comes together in a way that feels like it's maybe a bit more of a full step away from some of the things I didn't like in BFA. But yeah, I mean, I'm in. They have me right now. They haven't lost me as a player. They've lost me for about half of an expansion every go round at the moment based on how much I play. But, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes.
Chat room wanted us to clarify the boost is 250, not 260. 60 is the new cap. So technically, the boost would be from the new squished 40 to 50. It's just weird to think about, but yeah. All right. Thanks for the clarification, Ace High 2000. Hey, Bo, does this any of this drive you to go, oh, man, I got to get me some Warcraft in my veins again?
I mean, Shadowlands definitely was really strong. The trailer was really enticing, and everything sounded really cool about the world that we go to. I haven't looked at much since then, but I have found myself thinking, like, it'd be nice to go back to Azeroth. But yeah. I just, you know, it's very hard. It's hard to put your finger on what really captures you with the World of Warcraft expansion, because there's a lot of not just gates, but currencies and make busy work. It's a lifestyle that people get into as a game. And while I enjoy the exploration, all the awesome raids and things like that, I don't like how it seems to want to promote that I have to play daily in order to get value out of it. So it'll be a pass, but it's just because that's the state of MMO in 2020 right now.
Yep. They are still the one to watch, so we'll see what happens. Okay. Now, this. Games we're playing this week. I finally did it. I hunkered down and forked up the money, although I did it a week late. Last week it was only $19.99 and I waited too long. So I paid an extra $5. It's fine. I like supporting developers. I bought Hard Space Shipbreaker. And you guys, I think I might be in love with it.
That is quite the title.
I want to hump its leg.
Whoa. Where did you get it?
So we talked Steam. So we talked about this last week some. This is the game where you're floating around first person style in a spacesuit, and you are with big laser tools and splitters and tethers and other stuff. You're breaking apart old ships. Derelict spaceships for scrap and selling those salvaging some of it, destroying some of it because you got to get rid of certain things, being really careful with volatile things so you can get those for the highest value. Try not to blow yourself up because you went ahead and hit a fuel line, blah, 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 blah. Your job is to go out and salvage old spacecraft and sell it. And what nobody, I already knew all this, right? This already sounded cool to me. Because you go out, you kind of have this scan view you can turn into by hitting T on your keyboard, and it shows you the ship, all its weak points, the stuff you're going to have to break with your laser cutter. And you got one of those, like, remember in Dead Space, you had that laser cutter tool that would flip either vertical or horizontal, and you could shoot it. You remember that?
Plasma cutter.
There's a gun in, not a gun, but there is a laser thing in this thing that's just like that. So you just rotate depending on what you need. There's a regular kind of pinpoint laser. There's this tether thing where using gravity, you can like tether two objects together, and the bigger object that's already moving out of there will pull the smaller object with it, so you don't have to do all the hard work. Your goal, though, is to disassemble these ships and sell the parts. And sometimes you have specific work orders, like this ship has these two batteries. We need these back. Or this ship has a nuclear, I don't know, core in the center of it. It's really dangerous, but if you can get it out of there, you're going to get big bucks for it. There's like a sandbox mode. There's also a career mode, and there's a couple of modes, challenge mode and something else that's not in there yet. But they keep adding new things. One of the things that I was worried about with it when I'd heard about it before was that a lot of it was timed, so you had to hurry up and do your shit. And I don't like timers. I don't know if I've said that before on the show, but I'm not a fan of being timed. Hate it. I want to do stuff at my own pace. And today they announced, hey, turns out a lot of you also like to not have timers. So we're going to make that an option. You don't have to have timers if you don't want to. Bing! And that's what made me go, okay, I'm going to get it. Here's the part nobody told me about that's just icing on this big effing cake I bought today. It's, I love this so much. Okay, so the whole idea is Earth is a shithole. We've just rendered it.
But tell me about the game.
Well, because you know how I love, you know, apocalyptic stuff, and I love, you know, Mad Max and all that. It's not quite that, but the Earth has been depleted of its best resources, and it's hard to get work. That's the premise of this thing. And even the opening trailer shows this little girl on this hill holding her doll, looking up as a ship is flying off the planet. And it turns out she's your kid, and you're leaving her, and she's and you hear her narrating. She's reciting a rhyme about bringing her dad home safe from his job, because he's a shipbreaker. Anyway, it's all really weird because it's not like a specific story, but it's like this is the story of a shipbreaker is kind of how it's presented. And the music is all like Firefly / you know, country bumpkin freaking space trucker shit, which I'd love. I'd love that in space. I love space and trucker. I like space truckers. It's my favorite combo of things. I freaking love it. So kind of Firefly, kind of that sort of thing. And through the whole thing, I got that going. There's like some guy playing a guitar where I'm out there going, cutting a ship in half and like taking the parts off carefully and throwing those into the bin and moving this other big piece of junk over into the incinerator and floating around here. Okay, I got to get these tube joints. And it sounds like work, and it is. I mean, that's the idea. It's simulating this kind of like job. But man, is it satisfying. I am so into it. I love it.
Is this a VR game as well?
No. Or
is
it just... There's no VR as far as I know. They may have it planned. Yeah. I don't know. They may. You but asked me
I'm,
this last
I'm
week.
I'm watching the trailer, and I find it interesting because one of the nice touches is that it animates hands as well, it looks like.
Right.
Like as you're floating in space, you get near a wall. A hand reaches out and grabs it as if to steady your balance.
Yeah, and they have a motor.
I wish more games. Like, I love that they're putting a lot of detail into like small nuances that increase your verisimilitude.
Well, you'd like that because there's a scene. But today, when I was moving a big part of the hull out and I pushed it off, I got kind of caught in its gravity well a little bit. So they're messing around with physics and stuff, and it started to pull me really fast toward a big metal thing. And I remembered in the tutorial, it said, you can put your hands out and that will help soften these landings. You can kind of, you know, create.
Oh, it's like a saw, like a mechanic to like, what do they call them?
Dampeners.
Oh, hydraulic, right? Like yeah. Just like,
yeah.
Shock absorption. That's what it is.
Same idea. So, yeah. Same idea. Yeah. And then, there was see what else did it say about that? Oh, I forgot. Oh, the gloves are magnetic. So if you're on a metal surface, you can also. That's a great way to keep from getting thrown
off.
This
game looks amazing, dude.
It's
I've
been very
watching the trailer
cool,
and
dude.
Been saying it. It's I'm like, so cool. There's no bad guys. It's literally just salvaging and.
It's just salvaging
and quiet, and creepy boats.
Yeah, and it reminds me a little of Dwarf Rock game that we play in that the world like you when you first go in there's like all right welcome to your first rig. This job's not an easy one. Let's take a moment, have a moment of silence for the last shipbreaker that was here. And then the game gets all quiet and you're just kind of floating there like, all right, when's it going to stop? All right. Okay. Well, honor to him. Now your job is to bear, bear, bear. And they just treat it like this. You're working for this shitty company who wants you to do all this stuff for money. You're in huge debt. So you're trying to pay down your debt to them. And you do that by disassembling the ship, selling the parts. You make money. It takes money off your thing. Then you have a big upgrade tree. You're adding new abilities to your tools. These can lift bigger. Or these can tether bigger chunks of space junk. These can cut deeper into the ship or whatever. You know, all these abilities and things. And I'm barely scratching the surface on it so far in my playthrough. But man, it is so cool. It is so my jam. I'm loving it. I think I've got a. This is going to be a problem. This is going to be a problem for me. I'm going to be way
awesome.
Into this.
I was on board as soon as you said they removed the timers, because that was the one thing where I was like, yeah, but I want to do it at my own pace.
Yeah,
I don't like the timers. With them gone, I'm into it.
Yeah, I think you'd really like it, John. And just the vibe of it is just so... They've really leaned into making it more than just a mechanical experience. It's very intuitive, but you have to be creative and think, and it's all very 360 degrees, so you got to... Should I float under this thing? And then oh, these two so U joints.
It's basically a whole game of what, like, one of the opening scenes of The Expanse is when they're like cutting rock and the guy loses an arm.
Kind
of,
yeah.
It's like, it's just like, it's that the game.
Yeah. And you can catch on. Awesome. I caught on fire because I overheated some metal and I didn't realize what I was doing. It's not too simish. Like, they're not trying to make this a full, perfect Euclidean, you know, space simulation. But there are moments of like, oh, I know. Okay, so I'm trying to get into this small ship. It was early, too, so it wasn't even that big of a ship. But I'm trying to get into this little shuttle. And I could see there were some weak points on the doors where I could just, like, laser those off of there. The problem was I didn't notice that right up under it is a, it was a, and it was red, too, but I didn't see it. It was in shadow, but it was a red tube. And it turns out it was a main fuel line. And I hit that thing.
Be careful.
Yeah, I hit that thing and it goes, it starts venting flames. And that wasn't so much a problem that the explosion would happen. It's a sudden change in the, because inside the ship
is it simulate the atmospheric pressure of, yes, where you are, the vacuum?
Yes.
Like the PSI or whatever.
Right. And so what happens is I got too close to this door and it just went boom at the door and a bunch of pieces hit me and I'm floating backwards into the side of this thing. And
okay, if it's modeling like real world space physics a little, even just to provide the simulation of the experience, wishlisted. I'm kind of in. And this review on Steam by Sleepy Goldfish sold it for me as well. Every once in a while, you'll have the urge to just blow up a reactor. Mm-hmm. Give in to that urge. That's the review. Thumbs up. And I'm like, okay. This looks amazing, dude.
It's pretty neat. Decompression, that's the word. Jeez, I couldn't think of that damn word.
Decompression. There you go.
So there's just a real, and at the end of your shift, when you've done all you can do, you go back to your little pod and then you go in there and get new missions and sort of rinse and repeat, but there's just a real chill vibe about it. I really dig it. I'm so into it right now. So anyway,
I like that it's not a building game too. Like, I like No Man's Sky and mm-hmm. I like the building a little bit, but you know, they really cater to the building. Yeah. I like the destroying of
this. Yeah. Like you're taking stuff apart. And I got to tell you how satisfying it is that I found these two bolts that held this thing together and went and destroyed the two bolts. And suddenly this piece just went and just starts floating. And you're like, oh man.
So it's interesting. So these parts are held together, but then there are forces acting upon them that when they become unhinged, they float out. And you, like, yeah. I wonder how close it feels like you're dealing. Like you could predict these things by knowing maybe some physics and chemistry.
Oh, I think that's what happens is you start to intuit. Okay, that's huge, or that's small, or that's I'm not even going to be able to move it unless I make it smaller. I got to put it in three pieces. I know I can't just laser across the middle because there's a fuel tank in there. Like, there's all these things.
Doom, you got a whole catalog of weapons, right? Like, it's like, I need this type of tool for this type of job. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. It's really cool. It's just...
This is really cool.
It's really cool. It's like a destruction... Not destruction. It's just... I don't know how to compare this to anything. But it just turns out
you called it a simulator was kind of right. You're simulating a fantasy job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they decided to make Earth shitty and have great Firefly music and make it feel like I'm a little bit of a hobo just trying to get the job done. And I like that too.
Strong lore and something.
Yeah. And they don't lean into it in a really sardonic way or anything. It's just like, that's the state of things. You're lucky to have a job up here. Welcome to whatever corporation. We're glad to have you. Now watch yourself, this sort of thing. You're going to have to sell 5 million of the. One guy told me, you're going to have to sell about 5 billion of those antennas to make up your money for us. Just kidding. But I wasn't sure if he was kidding that it would cost more than that or less than that. Because he's just kind of a dick. Like, there's that kind of stuff in it. It's just cool. And it's pretty polished already. I don't know. I like it. I like it a lot. I know I say this a lot about a lot of games. So this may be me. It's Scott in his hype mode, but Shipbreaker, dude. It's just tickling my cheese. All right. I also played Curse of the Old Gods, PC Early Access, Imagine, Diablo, Hades, and I'm trying to think of another game to mix it with. Actually, a little bit of Slay the Spire because the way that the mission structure works. It's a roguelike, super dark dungeons. Oh, Darkest Dungeon, kind of a vibe as far as the art style goes, except it's full 3D, but it's in like kind of a Diablo view. And I could go into that for a while. It's still too new for me to make any kind of firm judgment on it, but so far seems like a really strong one of those. Curse of the Old Gods. I like it. It's neat. I also played, I am streaming Titanfall 2 and loving that. It's that campaign is awesome, you guys. It's so good. I didn't know what I was missing. I really didn't know. I feel like an idiot for not playing that back in the day. I just really like it. It's Respawn Entertainment.
Really, really cool campaign. Lots of good moments. It's just moment after moment after moment in that campaign.
Yeah. It might be. I mean, I'm about a third left, okay? But as things are going right now, this is out Half-Lifing Half-Life for me. And that's a weird thing for me to say. I'm liking it that much. And maybe it's because I haven't had Half-Life in my life for so long that I've forgotten just how amazing Half-Life was in its moment. But this is doing all that stuff. It's tripping all those wires, and it's a strong campaign. I really like BT. They're setting me up for some sad thing happening, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Anytime a game gives you a companion, you need to just prepare yourself.
Especially one that's like this loyal, and it's actually funny. Like, some of those dialogue exchanges you have with them are like actually funny. Video games aren't funny normally, right?
Yeah.
This is funny. Like, it's really good. Anyway,
I don't mean to cut this short or cut it off, but I just want to point out, you know what Bo looks like right now? Just with his lighting and setup? It looks like he's about to tell us the legend of Darth Plagueis the Wise.
Have you heard the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise?
Like, just the way he's lit in the dark room and the glow, that's just all I'm seeing every time I look at him.
No, that's the wrong
music.
It's
not a story the Jedi would tell you.
No. That's Mandalorian music. It doesn't quite work. Hold on. There we
go. Oh, man. I'm so ready for more Mandalorian.
So am I. I'm so excited. We get it this
ready
fall.
Ready for more DeLorean.
This fall's not that far off. We're getting it. It's happening. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Oh, is it in fall? That's exciting.
I feel like I played some of my favorite games this week. It's really weirded me out.
Well, and you're streaming all of that Titanfall 2, right?
Yeah, so I'm going to stream the entire thing. Yeah, I've done two or three now, has it been, sessions, and two and a half hour sessions on stream. They're also on YouTube. Yeah, it's just cool. That's a cool game. The stuff, you know, the thing that reminds me of Half-Life is some of the mechanics are just like, oh, right. Remember when games just shocked you with a mechanic? Like, that time-altering mechanic. It's not like games haven't played with time before, but this does it in a really unique way on that one level, or that whole mission, you know, set of missions where you use that time wrist thing. Yeah. The other thing is I usually hate puzzle-y type stuff that involve traversal in first-person shooters. This somehow makes those really fun and interesting. Wall running is actually a blast. You look forward to doing it.
Yeah, it plays really well, which is a huge benefit.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing. I hope they get around. Oh, and that's the other thing. I'm picking up weapons going, Spitfire? Okay. Oh, what's this one? Subba Zubba name, whatever. And I'm like, these are all Apex Legends guns. And then I remembered, oh, right, Apex Legends is in that universe. So there's that kind of cool aspect to it now. And I don't know. I haven't tried the multiplayer yet. I hear that's active again, and people are stoked about it because I guess it did really well on Steam last week, so... I have to get in there and play some more. It's neat. $10, man. How dumb cheap is that? Like, just amazing game. I hope they do a third because it's rad. All right. And then I'm swimming in Animal Crossing. So there's that. They had a summer update where you can swim in the water and find shit in the water and sell it and give it to the museum.
I bought a swimsuit, but I haven't done it yet.
You should. It actually is really, it's really good. You just jump off the bridges and or off the edges of what do you call that? Wharfs or the wood things, whatever they're called. Like the one the one by the airport, you can just do a flip right over the rail.
Nice.
And land right in. And it's all animated really well, and like it looks like it's supposed to always have been there. It's crazy. It works great. I'm impressed with it. So there's that. All right, that's my week in gaming. I loved every experience I just talked about. A little too much. All of those games are really good. I barely even cracked Curse of the Old Gods in our conversation. Talked a lot about it on the Boop Show, which is why I'm not doing it here, but that's a very cool one of those, if you like those. Okay. John, you played Ground Guard. How is it? I have Ground Guard. I like Ground Guard.
It's good. So first of all, I'm going to say I was over the moon jazzed because I got a buff that has the same name as my World of Warcraft character. And I was like, hell yeah. It made me very excited.
Revendon or something else? What's the name?
No, Eos, the first name.
Oh, Eos the
Great. I got like the Diamond of Eos or something like that. I was like, oh my gosh, my WoW character. Great. But anyway, that aside, I like it. I want to spend more time with it, but I think the problem I'm currently having with it is I got into it and I think I just sort of wanted to play Pickle because they started telling me about all these systems and all these things I could do. And I kind of just ignored them and was like, yeah, but what if I just try to hit things, which didn't work out great for me. Mm. It didn't lead to a positive experience, but I found that like, I'm so trained by Pickle to just like, no, I know what to aim for. Just let me aim. I will try and hit it and I'll do it. That I was skipping over a lot of the systems and a lot of the stuff built into it. And so I think I need to come back to it when I have a little more patience and a little more willingness to learn and actually use what the game is trying to show me. Because, you know, there's HP and stuff. It's basically Peggle, but with role playing mixed in.
Yeah,
you know, you've got hit points, there's attacks, there's monsters that have different abilities, you have special abilities, you pick up power-ups on the way, there's a whole map thing, and it's all very cool, but I was just like, all right, I'll shoot myself at the goblins, there we go.
You can be a rogue, you can be a warrior, you can be a mage dude, like all those tropes are in here as well.
It's a very cool idea. I feel like I just need to break my Peggle habits because my brain read Peggle and I just went, nope, I just shoot at the things and that's all I do.
That's an interesting take. I hadn't thought of that. You're kind of right. I mean, if you're going in there just to straight up let's play Peggle, it's more than that. But yeah, it's almost like, I kind of wish I hadn't played Peggle, even though I like Peggle a lot. But if you hadn't played Peggle and you played this, then Peggle would be a big disappointment because it's not as deep, right? So yes, you're coming at it from the simplicity for the simplicity, and it gave you complexity. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
It is cool. I just think it's definitely, and I'll say this, let me give a big blanket statement as we go through all the weird games I played this week.
All right.
It was going to be real hard to follow up The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
Like, that game is on a whole nother level. Technically, that game is on a whole nother level emotionally. You know, my girlfriend Amanda and I today had a long philosophical debate about The Last of Us 2 that went on for a long time about the merits of forgiveness and what do people deserve if they do bad things and all of that. Like, that's the kind of zeitgeist that exists around The Last of Us Part 2. It's really hard to do that and then go, well, I'm playing an RPG Peggle. That's going to scratch the same itch that this complex, deep game that's touching on all the emotions is going to do. So it's tough.
Yeah.
And all these games had a hard job, and as a result, none of them succeeded, really. But I think they're all still levels of quality.
Did you also like Streets of Rogue? I also have that game. I like
Let's
that game.
Talk about Streets of Rogue.
Okay, go.
Oh, man.
I like this game. Let me just put that out there right now. I kind of like Streets of Rogue. So now that that's out there, so I can't backtrack or qualify that, let's hear what you thought, and then now we'll compare.
Streets of Rogue seems like a really, really fun game that I think I will enjoy, again, when I give it more time and patience. The problem with Streets of Rogue is that its sense of humor makes Borderlands look like Shakespeare. It is actively unfunny, but thinks it's hilarious. And I had a really hard time getting over the sense of humor in that game.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof. It has its moments, sure, when you throw that much stuff at the wall, something's bound to hit. But when somebody's just like being real meta about the tutorial and is so shocked that you could press A when he told you that his whole body explodes, I was just like, okay. All right, let's go. I do think there's something there. The game is interesting. For some reason, I keep just playing as the hobo class. Because I think that was what I was on at the beginning. And I'm having a real mixed experience with that. I don't know if that's who I'm supposed to be playing as first. But I do think there's some really cool things there. It has a very sudden... Like, once you kind of realize you're playing in an open world and you can kind of do whatever you want and the game will facilitate that, I was like, oh, wow, this is kind of neat. I'm really digging it. But yeah, every time there's, like, a stab at humor, which is frequent, I'm like, boy, guys.
You're not wrong. The gameplay supersedes it for me, but you're totally right. The jokes are flat. They're bad. They try. It's a bad in a kind of 90s, early 90s, old guy thought this was funny for the kids, kind of bad. I agree. But it's a cool game. I'll tell you what it's like.
I've got it. It's if you go back and you watch like old Newgrounds videos now as an adult.
Yes. That's it. So maybe more early aughts, I guess. And very junior high, you know, like there's no, they didn't hire some fancy writer for this game. They just like, they know what they like and they made a game with it and it's not necessarily the best humor. I agree with that. I think that's fair. But man, the mayhem you can have, it's GTA level crazy. Like, there's some weird stuff to do in that game. I like that game. You got it cheap on sale, right? Like super cheap?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Well, then I don't feel bad.
No, it's fine. I'm going to keep it. I'm going to play it. I'm going to have a good enough time with it. So it'll be fine.
Now, just so the chat room knows, and I'm going to share this. I'm going to put this up as a screen grab. John did another thing. Here we go, chat room. As you notice on our spreadsheet in our notes, under John's games played this week, we have Round Guard, a nice big 12-point type. We have Streets of Rogue. And then on line 24, dot, dot, dot. And on 25, in very small, like 6-point font, dot, 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 cookie clicker, dot, dot, dot. So so tell us about your time. Why were you playing, like, honestly, going from Last of Us Part 2 to Cookie Clicker, how did that feel?
So good. It's the only thing that stuck. Like, here's the thing. I left off a bunch of stuff from this list because I've talked about it before. I played Dragon Ball FighterZ. I played, what else did I play? I went through a bunch of stuff trying to play. I played the new Star Wars game, Fallen Order. That's how I know that my saves carried over. I tried a lot of things. The only thing that stuck with me was Cookie Clicker, which I have played to a, like, upsetting level. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just we're in this really uncertain time, things are crazy, the world's nuts, and I appreciate something that's so absolutely mathematical and precise as a good old cookie clicker. But I started playing it. I think it was Danny O'Dwyer, who I follow on Twitter, posted some videos about it. And I was like, oh man, I haven't thought about Cookie Clicker in years. And I went there like a dummy and was like, is that still even around? And it is. And I was like, well, I'm going to click this cookie. And I did. And then I bought a stupid hand that would click the cookie for me. And then I clicked the cookie some more. And now, I'm not kidding, it's running while we're doing the show. I have 11 quadrillion cookies right now.
Wow.
It's a real problem.
Feed the world with all your cookies.
It's just going. So, look. I don't recommend anybody does Cookie Clicker. It is a pit with which you need to know what you're getting into if you're going to throw yourself into it. But I found some comfort and I found some joy in the passive, precise nature of that game that just helped me out in these troubling times. So I can't say...
Is that a mobile game?
I think there's a mobile version.
And I think there is a mobile version.
But it's not one of those free-to-play annoying things, right?
Well, it is free-to-play, right?
It is free-to-play, but there's no like buy-in to get an upgrade or anything. It's just you invest the time.
Well, it's one of the original clicker subgenre thingies, and now there's a billion of these things in different kinds of genres and stuff that they have all over.
I played the D&D one. Yeah. Oh, my God. What a waste of their resources.
I know, but look, the thing is, it's numbers going up, and it turns out people like it when the numbers go up. So I think
I would recommend to people, if you want a clicker game, there is one I did like. It was called Universal Paperclips. and it's It has an ending, which is nice.
It sounds like a brand of paper.
It does. Yeah. It totally does.
So it was actually Randy Jordan who recommended this to me. I don't know why he recommended it to me, but he did.
Okay.
And it is a it's a clicker where you make paper clips. And the only nice thing, the only reason I recommend it is, one, it goes some excessively weird things, which, yes, Cookie Clicker also does, but it gets there a lot faster. And more importantly, the game has an ending. And depending on which ending you choose, because it has multiple endings, there's a chance that it just shuts down your factory and ends. And even if you go back to that website, it's done. You've ended the game. You go back, they're like, no, you finished it. You beat it. You closed it all out. You shut the factory down. It's over. There will be no more paper clips for you.
Oh, my gosh. I'm, when I was playing clickers on my phone, because I was trying out lots of different ones, like, I'm trying to remember the ones I played. They're all the kind of the same. One was like a farm, and you were trying to make eggs or whatever, but they all kind of work the same. The fantasy ones, you're the one doing it because you're tapping the screen, but you're killing monsters. Eventually you got heroes to do it for you, so while you're offline they're doing it for you, but when you come back you can speed it up by doing it yourself, blah blah blah. It's like the same model as what you're talking about. And I had almost had an existential freaking mind break, because when I got deep enough into that game I went, oh my gosh, is this all video games are, just minus the fancy clothes? Like, is this Diablo? Because I think it might be Diablo. Like, I was losing my mind, and I thought, this is Diablo without the slower and the fake impression that I'm picking up something cool and putting it on my dude and a number goes up. It's just a more methodical
one that was just loot. You just rolled to get loot.
Yes, and it was, I had, are that these game
pants better than the pants that I have on? Yes, they are. I equipped these pants, but that's, you don't do game. Anything with it.
That's the game I'm thinking of. It was like that weird 8-bit looking thing, and you just kept tapping on treasure chests over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was eventually you'd get, ooh, those shoes are better than the ones I have. That stuff really makes you go, holy shit. Video games are, we might be all full of it. This might be a problem.
Oh, it is a problem. It's overstimulating.
I mean, clearly, sure. but also it redefines what I thought. Every video game you could boil down to that experience almost. Not every video game, but this.
Not banished.
Like RPGs in particular. Progression-based games. It's like, it's just me clicking on a cookie at the end of the day. Oh, that's
there's a South Park episode where they decide to make an app, and the guy's like showing them what the RPG loop of for suckers is, how to get their money. He's like, all right, see, this is how it works.
It's
Canadians.
That.
Canada's behind the evil plot to destroy America with free to play games. I think that's the plot of the episode.
That's amazing.
And it's a thing, guy. Like, we're human, and we're built to read responses in nature, and it's fine if we play video games. I'm not about to have that talk, but we weren't, your brain wasn't built for this. And so when it's a lot, it's a lot.
Oh, I found it. It's called Amazing Loot Grind. This is it, John.
Yep. That's it. That's the one.
Amazing Loot Grind on Android and iOS. Here it is.
How's your loot look? Oh, look at all those sick purples.
Yeah. Look at all these sick perps and yellows. Look at these legendaries. All you do is just keep clicking on the freaking treasure chest. And every once in a while you get like a higher rate of drop. Oh, this is insidious. This is the one that I think may have broken me. This is the one where I went, oh my gosh, this is Diablo without the graphics. That's what I'm doing.
Sure. But I mean, I would say that the thing that Diablo adds back is there is an element of fun to it. There is, you know, It may make it seem like, oh, well, that's all just window dressing, and it is, but that window dressing, one, tells a story, which your quest for loot does not, and two, like, it does make you feel things, it makes you experience things, like, Diablo is not just the, like, dopamine hit of, I got new pants.
Right, you strip it away, though, and it is, the underpinnings are there, though, right? Am I not crazy?
Right,
not
crazy.
Everything in Diablo is a dopamine hit. Like pushing your seven-sided strike and blowing up a monster is like a or if, you know, fighting a hard thing, like, you know, the relationship, I think, between the reward centers and video games are much, like, the fact that it affects us is way deeper than we're ready to admit, because we're in that state of that honeymoon euphoria phase where everyone's got computers and we're all loving what this is. But you see the signs on Twitter, see the signs of how everyone's communicating. There's a lot of stimulus going around the world right now.
Yeah,
Wendy's probably, you should pick Wendy's brain about that. I'm sure,
dude, we are over. You're right. We're overstimulated. I mean, look at me playing Hard Space Shipbreaker, Curse of the Old Gods, Titanfall 2, and swimming in Animal Crossing.
I think that Hard Space game's probably okay, actually. It's probably not that bad.
It's pretty chill.
But I mean, the thing is you can get reductive about anything. And you can say, like, you know, like, okay, let's take a dig at cinema. People, human beings, go and they sit in a single chair and they stare at a screen and they throw, you know, 3 hours, sometimes more, of their life away just sitting there. Is that worthless if we reduce it down to that level? Probably. If that did something for you, if that made you feel a way, if that interpreted how you look at things, how you view the world, then all of a sudden we're assigning value to it. And it's a individual decision on whether that value is worth what you just did.
Is it bad then, John, that I just now reinstalled Amazing Loot Grind and have chosen a character and now plan on playing this?
Uninstall it, dude.
That's a problem. Don't go down that road, Scott. My cookie cooker story was not a endorsement. It was a cautionary tale.
Oh, but look.
500,000 games out there. You don't need to play that one.
Oh, but it's so... This will be studied one day. 50 years from now, they're going to study this game. I'm telling you. There's something it's about addictive. That thing. It I've just
they're studying it now. They're studying it now.
They're tapping into my brain in a way that's just freaky to me. All right, Bo, you didn't play anything this week, did you? I see it's all blank here.
No, I had a session of Divinity 2. It wasn't very long. We didn't get very far, but I didn't play any video games this week, so I don't have anything to report.
Man, that's a rare week, but no worries. I like your philosophical take on all this stuff is a good brain check for me, because I get so wrapped up in this stuff.
It's not original stuff for me, and I've been looking at absorbing a lot of content in the past week on a variety of subjects. One of them being neuroscience.
Yeah,
and there are some fascinating things being uncovered now about the world that's changing all around us. Screens everywhere, connected all the time. And it's not the doomsayer, like, shut it all down, be a Luddite, but it's just looking at it and saying the way that we're distributing information right now is incredibly irresponsible and damaging to our brains.
Yeah, it may be.
And it's not that we should make computers go away. Computers and all this stuff have done tons to advance our understanding and knowledge of things. And it's not to say that this should go away, but there's it's a conversation that we're going to have to start having at some point about overstimulated people, whether it's Twitter or whatever, but it's real.
Yeah, we're heading toward you guys think Cyberpunk 2077 is a game? It's a life simulator.
Oh, I'm playing that like for 96 hours straight. I'm gonna bathe in chocolate and shit in my bed and just play the game until it's done.
God. Wait a minute. Why would you do either of these things? You don't have to do either of those things.
I don't know where the chocolate came from. I was gonna make the poo joke, but I got chickened out, so I went with chocolate, but then I was like, why am I chickening out? So then I said the poo thing.
Yeah.
Now I've got chocolate and poo in the bed.
I know.
I'm not happy about it either.
Which is which? It's like you did the chocolate bath just to confuse the later problem. It's not good.
Anyways.
That's amazing. No, that's amazing. That's amazing. I loved every part of that. All right. We do have one of these.
That's a good question.
Quick email from Tom Allen. I used to know a Tom Allen. Anyway, the address he sent this to, or actually he just went to our website, frogpants.com/core, and he sent it up there at the top of the page. Tom says, the subject is about the Moana song, the Disney movie Moana. Says this, Scott, I hope you're doing great. A few episodes back on Core, John had you play a song from Moana that sounded like she was dropping an F-bomb. Can you ask him what song that was from again? It's been bugging me because I've tried to hear it again in a few of the popular Moana songs and I can't find it. I vividly remember it sounding like an F-bomb when you played it and I laughed really hard. Thanks again for the content. All the best, Tom Allen. Well, Tom, now's our chance. John, do you remember which song it was?
Yeah, so I put the link down below the email so you can pull it up. So it's from the song I Am Moana, and it's It's the part where she says it's like the tide, and then what I always hear is it's like the tide always effing rising.
All right, I'm gonna play it again, and this is already set to the time. Looks like it's about a minute 53. Yeah. So here goes. That's really good. You know, you've heard the Batman poops one, right? Did we do this?
All right. We did play it. That one's so good, though.
I'm gonna play it again.
I just have to laugh every time.
Here it is. Think of Batman pooping snakes. Think of Batman pooping snakes. All right.
Yep, that's all I hear now. Ever since you played that, that's all I can hear.
All right. Anyway, thanks for the email. I like emails of all kinds. They can be about silly stuff like this, so don't worry about it. It's totally fine. All right. It's going to do it for today's show. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Patreon.com/core show is how you can support this nonsense. Do you want extra content thrown up in there between episodes? We do that like 25 minutes today, bonus show. If you guys want that, it's yours. But you got to go over there and support us. Patreon.com/core show. There's other cool stuff. So check it out, frogpants.com/core for everything else. All right, let's go around the horn and see who has good words of wisdom for the listeners. Let's start with Bo. Bo, what do you want to tell people tonight? He's muted.
He's muted.
Damn it. Frick. I muted and unmuted like 3 times to make sure I was ready for any last ball pitches. And, yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. I was muted.
It's all right.
So, turn off your phones 1 hour before bed.
Oh, hey, that's all right. My sister says that too. My psychology sister, she says to do that.
It helps, all right. Even if it's really hard.
All right, well done, Bo. I like it. John, final word of wisdom?
You can click the cookie. You can choose to ignore the cookie. Just know that you don't have to click the cookie.
And you can't eat the cookie.
No, you can't.
All right, my word of wisdom is... check out the daily video game news-related YouTube thing I'm doing now. It's called Frog Pants Plays Daily. You can find it at frogpantsplays.com or at the YouTube channel, which links there. So go check it out. Let me know what you think. I'm having a lot of fun with it, and I think you might like it too, although I got to make one here right after the show. Anyway, thanks everybody for watching, for listening, for being here, for subbing on the channel, for helping us out on Patreon, and everything else. We'll see you later.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
I have the chef.